It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cards. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Episode 10, Season 8. The show that the year is flying by, and the fact that 2015 is almost over is mind-boggling. Tech coming off a blowout, or dominating victory. Blowout could be argued as well. Dominating victory over Middle Tennessee Saturday inside UIA Stadium. And this is all I'm going to say about this. I was disappointed in the crowd. Moving on. Tech played well, even in the rain. So I was really impressed with how they were able to throw the ball. And Holtz talked about the seven drops, and you put the seven drops in, and Driscoll's getting really close to 90% passing.
Yeah, and I just really thought the defense had a huge game and really got back to some of the games we saw last year, like all the dominating blowouts last year, the Lafayette game last year, or UTEP, or
Rice.
Or even Texas San Antonio, where Tech didn't, blow them away, but scored off turnovers. And, the pick six, golly, Ferguson's just playing like an animal, getting the sacks and forcing the fumbles. I think Barnes forced a fumble. Just really creating turnovers and getting points off turnovers. When you're scoring off defense, it makes it so much easier on the offense. They're not playing from behind or trying to play in a tight game. It just takes the pressure off a little bit. Driscoll's so calm and collected back there anyway. But I felt like the defense really set the tone.
Tech, of course, 45-16 victors Saturday inside UIA Stadium. Jeff Driscoll finished 18 for 28 for nearly 300 yards, 294 exactly. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Brent Stockstill for the Blue Raiders, 36 of 56. They threw it almost 60 times because Tech had stopped the run. 381 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Their rushing attack, Middle Tennessee, 24 rushes as a team for 33 yards, 1.4 yards a rush. That's pretty bad. That's including seven from the quarterback, which some of that sacks.
And what did they have at halftime? It was like 1 or 2 yards rushing at halftime. It was pretty bad.
Kenneth Dixon returns for the Bulldogs. Finished the game 14 carries, 66 yards, 4.7 yard average, three rushing touchdowns, and one receiving touchdown that went for 35 yards. He's not 100%, or he wasn't Saturday. And I don't even think he's as close as maybe we thought he would be.
I will take it, though.
That's what's crazy about how good Kenneth Dixon is.
He's on the field. Hey, he's scoring four touchdowns. We'll take
four touchdowns, and he's – let's say that he was 70%.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every time he plays, he comes off the field with a limp at least a few times a game, but he just always just goes out there and gets it done. And he's 10 away from the career touchdown mark now. He entered the game 14 away. So if you thought, well, he missed a couple of games, he's still 14 away, maybe there's not a chance.
And they will count the championship game if Tech plays in it. And they'll count a bowl game, which Tech has to win one more game to be bowl eligible.
So really, I mean, there could be six more games left, and he's only got 10 left to go. He can sleepwalk and get to a game. So I don't think the battle's between him and first place. I think it's between him and the guy from Navy, because they're both right there neck and neck. So, there's going to be a new career touchdown leader at the end of the season, I believe.
NCAA record likely to fall this season, and it could belong to Kenneth Dixon of Louisiana Tech. That's something to behold. Trent Taylor, once again, 8 catches, nearly 100 yards, 97 yards, no touchdowns, but the guy just moves the chains. along a 40. Carlos Henderson, one catch for 55 yards, one touchdown, and a pretty punishing block on a play that I'm pretty sure he was not supposed to be there.
Hey, that was a great block. It really was. But the, I was really proud of that big play. It reminded me of early in the season. He had the big long pass against Western Kentucky, but he had the cast on his hand. He wasn't able to come up with it. And so when he's able to get behind the defense like that and catch the ball and score the touchdown, I mean, that's, you talk about big plays, that was huge.
Kenneth Dixon, two catches for 52 yards. I think that's probably his biggest strength going into the NFL is his ability to catch the football out of the backfield. Marcus Gaines, one catch for 37 yards, made somebody miss, nearly took it to the house out at the inside the 2 yard line. Paul Turner, he played a good bit, but I would still say he was limited. Three catches, 37 yards. He had a couple of drops, but the rain definitely played a factor. Marlon Watts, two catches, 15 yards. Cam McKnight, couple of drops as well. One catch, 6 yards. And then Jared Kraft had a catch for 2 yards. Tech's pass defense is still a question, to say the least. At least they got the two picks, which makes up for the 381 yards Middle Tennessee was able to throw for against Tech, led by Ed Marquise Batties, 9 catches, 111 yards for 2 touchdowns. Richie James, 10 catches for 73 yards. Quarterback, former quarterback, current wide receiver, 4 catches, 59 yards, Austin Grammer. So there was, they Tech gave up some decent chunks, but nothing went for really big plays for touchdowns.
Yeah, and but a lot of that was, I feel like, in the second half, you know, they were behind and they started passing a lot, and I think Tech kind of went more of a prevent-type defense. And basically, I think both teams were trying to get the game over with in the second half. And so, you know, they did their damage in the first half and got the big lead, and I felt like, you know, yeah, they...
35-10 at halftime.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee, you know, put up some stats passing the ball in the second half, but I think as long as the Tech was keeping them in front and not letting them go for the big play, they were going to give them those 5 or 6 yard passes over and over and just eat the clock up.
Give us a call or give us a text on the Fairways of Mendon hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. Let's hear your thoughts on Louisiana Tech from the Middle Tennessee game and then what you expect against Rice Friday night in Houston. Another rain game. Nearly a guarantee at this point. We'll talk more about that game later as Stephanie Kuzadim joins us from the Houston Chronicle during the 6:30 hour. Or 6:30 segment, I should say. Going to be good stuff from Stephanie. I'm not going to say the last name very often. She emailed me the pronunciation, but I'm still going to struggle with it, so I'm going to call her Stephanie a lot. Kuzadim.
I'm not even going to try.
South Arkansas won't let you.
No.
Jason, like I said, the biggest disappointment for me continues to be the pass defense, but the pick six by Bryson Abraham was one of the prettiest pick sixes you're ever going to see.
Well, and he almost had one early in the game. He's really got a nose for the ball right now. He's playing really well, and he's reading the defense. And he almost came away with one in the first quarter. So when he got that one in the second quarter, that was really nice. But, it was 42-10. There's 10 minutes left in the game. Middle Tennessee gets the ball, and Stockstill just comes out passing, you know, and he gets a 30-yard pass and a 26-yard pass. And then he finishes it off with a 27-yard pass for a touchdown. So, I mean, he got, you know, almost 100 yards on one drive for a touchdown when they're down by 32 and or 36, and the game's pretty much over. So, I mean, he was really eating up some yards there late in the game. I'm really not worried about the pass defense, and I feel like, you know, they might have even found some things to make it to kind of shore up that defense a little bit more, and maybe that's why we're seeing the more turnovers.
Good question from BleedTechBlue.com today on the Tech Drive community. Should Tech have redshirted Jacquees Dancy? In hindsight, Probably.
Yeah, maybe so, but I think we talked about it a little bit last week. He was having such a good camp, and it's just hard to keep a good athlete on the bench, you know, when you've got him, use him. And Henderson was kind of hurt, and so you didn't know what you were going to have in the kick return game.
And then Blake Martin was hurt, so he couldn't necessarily return kicks either.
Yeah, and then Kraft got hurt, so you don't have all these running backs available. And there was one game where Kenneth Dixon got every single carry, maybe Kansas State. So, I mean, you've got to have another running back on the bench. It would have been nice to have been able to redshirt him, but I just don't know if we were able to. There was another question in the forum today talking about redshirting. They said Ephraim Kitchen might have played in one game. Can he still redshirt? Game participation actually shows he played in two, Southern and maybe ULL. I can't remember.
But it's the 80-20 is what the rule is. So if he hasn't played in 80% or 20%, I think it's 80% of the games, I think he should be okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about him. And then
Will Freeman.
The other one was Freeman, the linebacker.
Not Will Freeman. Freeman from Scotlandville.
Yeah, I couldn't find him in any game participation. I don't think he's played.
Okay.
So he should be good. But it may be Kitchen, too, like you're saying, if he only played in two games out of, you know, whatever it ends up being.
So he could potentially redshirt. It'll be a question there. I think he's got a groin injury.
We'll try to find that answer out.
Because Trey Spencer and Aaron Robertson have played at this point and played significantly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of freshmen getting on the field now, and which they're going to be counted on to be a lot of them starters next year, a lot of seniors moving on. So, I mean, it's good that they're getting this experience. I think there was how many freshmen on the field at the end of the Lafayette game. They were able to play against Middle Tennessee, and hopefully
Emmanuel Turner's playing now that Edarga is looks like to be done for the year.
Colin Scott, I believe, has played some. Brandon Derman is playing a lot now. So
Washington at linebackers playing a lot.
So hopefully, you know, even against North Texas and UTEP coming up, you'll see them more and more on the field.
Theron Williams has played from St. Aug in New Orleans. They've played a lot of freshmen, and we knew coming in that they probably needed to, but the injuries have forced their hand.
And then we can get into this in another segment, but we also talked about kind of the young depth at offensive line and how that might not be a issue next year.
We can do it now.
Okay, well, there's six juniors this year, so I don't think you're going to have a problem with depth in the future for next year. They're playing two freshmen significant minutes right now. Shane Carpenter's playing a lot. O'Shea Dugas has played a lot. Both of them have started some, I believe. And then also at the beginning of the year, McCready was playing some. But those are your three freshmen. You've got six juniors coming back next year. So between those nine players, you've got a lot of depth. Not really worried about depth for next year. But moving forward, when those six juniors become seniors and then graduate, those three players I just named, Carpenter, Dugas, McCready, are the only ones with any playing time. There's no sophomores that have played. So that's where you've got the five commitments in the signing class right now. They're trying to get those guys in next year, probably redshirt them.
And one of them will be here this spring in Melanson.
Yeah, and so getting one in here early, but getting them all in here and redshirting them and just getting them some experience or just getting them in the system for a year will be good, because that might be your second string. And then some of these guys that are redshirting this year, Ethan Reed and Devontae Lovett, you know, it'll be important for them to get into the rotation next year as backups, because they're probably going to be starting as third-year sophomores.
Talking about offensive line, let's go across the ball to the defense. And Austin from Shreveport's got a text on the Fairway Carts amended text line. Jalen Ferguson, he thinks, has been Tech's best defensive lineman since he started getting playing time. He does look raw at times, and obviously a redshirt freshman, but his ceiling looks incredibly high. You guys agree? And did he have any P5 offers? He did have a Power 5 offer in Missouri.
Yeah, he had a handful of good offers. I don't know if they were that many P5s. We'll look that up real quick. But I remember he had several offers. And I don't know if he's been our best, but he's definitely taken advantage. You know, Vernon Butler just creates so much attention.
I mean, yeah, Vernon Butler's the best, but
he's getting so much attention, and it allows Dora and Canty and now Ferguson to get in there and make plays. But, hey, he's taking advantage of his opportunities, and he's right up there with them. He's playing great.
And Canty's been a little nicked up. Holt said in his press conference yesterday that he's getting better and better. He was dressed this past weekend, so that's a good sign for him. But you look at Jalen Ferguson coming out of high school, had an early Mississippi State offer, an NC State offer, Missouri. So he had several P5 offers. And whenever you see the kid play, there's no wonder. You can't teach 6'5 a defensive end.
And then he had some AAC offers, Tulane, Central Florida, Memphis. So a lot of schools that are really big wanted him, and Tech got him, and it's paid off big time.
Yeah, he was in the 2014 class. He was one of the best signees. Let's look and see who maybe was the quote-unquote best. But at this point, it's hard to argue that Jalen Ferguson wasn't the best. Cedric Johnson was in that class. He's played a little bit. Sanford C is there. Kirby Wixon is in that class, so he's been very, very good. Marlon Watts, Marcus Gaines is in that class. David Mahaffey's in that class. Russell Ferris is in that class. Jared Kraft's in the class. But at this point, I would feel comfortable saying that Jalen Ferguson's the best for the 2014 class. Deldrick Canty's in that class. Shane Carpenter's in that class. Cedric Cooper's in that class. That was a really good recruiting class for Louisiana Tech.
It was a really good class, but even back then, probably the most offers and the highest profile were probably Jalen Ferguson, number one, and then Cam McKnight from right down the road, number two. I mean, those two guys, both up there. Just
talk about a guy with so much upside.
Yeah, they're both just really – both of them had a lot of upside, and they're both getting to play a lot now. And
from East and West Feliciana Parish.
Right there, right above Baton Rouge, so both of them from the same area.
A good text from Austin there. Appreciate it. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll continue talking a little bit of Middle Tennessee from Saturday. And then, of course, at 6:30, we will preview Rice Friday night with Stephanie Kuzadim from the Houston Chronicle. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This segment brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents. We'll be back right after this. It is hurt your head. The first thing you do when you get up out of bed. Hit that street, surrounding, and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Your interior design dreams come true in one convenient location. Trenton Interiors & Company in downtown Ruston. Owners and professional designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schott turn dreams into reality with custom cabinets and countertops, wood and tile flooring, wallpaper and fabrics, appliances, plumbing fixtures, furniture, and lighting with professional design services. Trenton Interiors & Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building.
For all the special dates in your life, it's National Jewelry. For engagement rings, wedding bands, anniversary gifts, birthday surprises, Christmas gifts, Valentine love you gifts, the special sparkle and shine with fine jewelry from Pandora, Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. For the special gift occasion in your year, it's National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Tech fans, start your game day off right by stopping at Brister Smokehouse. From the famous scatterload sandwich to those piled high barbecue nachos, there's something for everyone at Brister Smokehouse. Let the folks at Brister's cater your next tailgate by giving them a call at 318-513-9966. Brister Smokehouse, a proud supporter of Louisiana Tech Athletics, 1313 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, title sponsor of Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go check those guys out in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 111 North Trenton Street, 255-7698, for anything to do with your interior of your house. They've got you covered. Jason, of course, Tech coming off that big victory against Middle Tennessee Saturday. Biggest surprise for you coming out of that game?
Well, I'll get to the surprise in a minute, but we talked about last week, you know, they cannot run the ball, and Tech can. And so especially if it rains, that's going to be the difference in the game. And that's what played out. I mean, they cannot run the ball, and they were even worse than we thought they'd be. I mean, Tech really shut them down running the ball.
And Tech had 170 yards on the ground, 4.8 yards a carry.
Yeah, and that was the difference in the game. The turnovers really blew it wide open. But even before the turnovers, the run game, Tech dominated, and that's how they won the game. And a lot of that has to do with Vernon Butler up front. Just it's so hard to run on him. But then,
and Aaron Brown, he's an unsung hero of that defensive line.
Yeah, getting him back healthy has been good. And then Nick Thomason, anything that gets through that line, he is cleaning it up. And he had a couple of unbelievable tackles in that game. He is really playing lights out. And just reading the offense, and he knows where that ball is going to be, and he's getting there.
You look at Tech, you talk about offensively. I mean, you think about throwing the ball for both teams. Even if Middle Tennessee got 100 of it in one drive, so you say 281 yards, so nearly 300 yards passing in the rain. Tech had 300 yards passing in the rain. And then Tech had 169 yards on the ground.
Well, and like you were saying, I mean, the second quarter, it hardly even rained. So it wasn't raining that bad until late in the game.
And that's when Tech built their lead, was in the second quarter. What's the old saying? They made hay while the sun shined?
Yeah, I mean, they really did. And it was just good to see. I mean, a good dominating performance by everybody involved. It's good to see Dixon out there running around. And it was good to see him. And Driscoll will be able to get off the field at the end of the game and let some of the other guys get in there. Blake Martin got a couple carries. Higgins got some playing time.
Driscoll did get – he got walloped. I thought he got hit in the head, but he got hit in the chest and got the breath totally knocked out of him. When he got up, he could hardly walk. And then two plays later, he gets rolled up on by defensive lineman and twists his ankle right before halftime. And he went into the – locker room and got retaped, and he was back ready to play in the second half. You really never knew he twisted his ankle.
Yeah, I mean, luckily he was back and looking good. And you know, Tech, you mentioned, you know, Tech has not had a bye week yet, and that won't come for another couple of games. So really looking forward to that, just try to get everybody healthy. But this is one huge game right here. There's three teams left in the Western Division with one loss: Southern Miss, Rice, and Tech. They all play each other coming up. I think, obviously, Tech and Rice play Friday. Rice and Southern Miss, I think, play in the next week or two. And then Southern Miss is the last game for Tech, you know, to come into Ruston at Thanksgiving. So, I mean, those three matchups are going to determine the Western Division. And so if Tech can get the jump on the other two and get the first win in that series, it's going to be really big. And then hopefully start getting some rest for some of these guys heading into the Southern Miss game a month later.
It's still crazy that Tech hasn't had a bye week yet.
It's nuts, and it's needed. But, you know, luckily, you know, there's a couple of home games coming up, and then there's also, you know, the bye week, and then the road trip out to, you know, UTEP. They have started playing a little bit better, but, you know, Tech still should be able to go out there and take care of business. So,
I had kind of forgotten that Southern Miss has to travel out to Rice. That's an interesting matchup. Southern Miss is better this year. Their defense is actually playing pretty well. I mean, they did shut down UTSA. Now, UTSA had a pretty terrible game that day, and Marshall scored 31 on them.
Well, and then Rice has to travel to UTSA, I believe, and UTSA is favored in that game, according to Massey. And so, you know, there's an opportunity for some of these other teams to beat up on each other, but Tech does not want to worry about getting help from the other teams on their schedule.
Care of business.
If Tech takes care of business and beats them all, they've already beat UTSA. If they beat Rice Friday, it won't matter.
Now, looking at the rest of the schedule for Tech on MasseyRatings.com, Tech favored 72% Saturday, Friday night in Houston, with a prediction of 38-31. We'll talk more about that game in the next segment going forward in the show. North Texas, a 99% chance. They're sitting at 0-7 with a interim head coach. 45-14 is Massey's prediction for that one. 92% chance of beating UTEP, 42-21 in that one. And Southern Miss, 77%, 37-27.
Yeah, and it's weird. So Rice is the home team against Tech and only given a 28% chance to win. Then on November 14th, two games later, they've got Southern Miss. They're only given a 45% chance to win that one. And then they go to San Antonio the following week and are only given a 47% chance to win. So, you know, like we were saying earlier, and Tabor, you mentioned in the break, Rice is not the Rice of the last couple of years. They're down a little bit. So there's a chance they might end up losing three more games this year. But, really doesn't matter. If Tech beats them, they're out of the picture. It'd be nice. Yeah, maybe they'll get some help and knock Southern Miss off. But even then, I think if Southern Miss has two losses and Tech has one, the winner of that game is still the Western Division champion. It doesn't matter. So Tech's still got to take care of business.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll have Stephanie Kuzadim. I'm struggling. From the Houston Chronicle joining us here talking a little Louisiana Tech Rice football. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street. Go visit those guys for all of your interior decorating needs. 255-7698. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Stephanie Kuzadim of the Houston Chronicle. How did I do on the last name, Stephanie?
That was right on.
Perfect. How you doing this evening?
Very well. How are you?
Doing great. I just got a little football game going on at Rice this Friday night. How do you see the matchup shaping up overall between the Owls and the Bulldogs?
I mean, between your guys' running back, between La Tech's running back, and Rice's four setbacks, the turf could be worn out by the end of the game, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about that. And then you look at Rice's strength on offense is their running attack, and then Tech's weakness is stopping the pass, and Rice cannot do that very well. And then it's supposed to rain Saturday, so you add all that together, and it could be lots of running the ball, and if it's that predictable, everybody's going to load the box.
Right, yeah. Rice is actually doing pretty well when it rains, though, so they're not too upset if it rains on Friday night.
And then look at Tech. If they were able to throw the ball in the rain Saturday against Middle Tennessee, so if they're able to do that, how has Rice's pass defense been so far this year?
Statistically, one of the worst in the country. Honestly, they're not doing that great on it. The second time in this season that I've written a story about the secondary and how well it can perform against a big time passing offense. It did not do well against Western Kentucky. It definitely did not do well against Baylor. I think in all, if you combine the scores between those two games, it was 119-27. And offensive yards-wise, I think Rice gave up almost 1,300 yards between those two teams. So they're struggling. Their secondary is very, very young. Learning, but not learning, I think, as quick as they would hope. They're not really admitting it, honestly. But they're definitely struggling. That's for sure.
So I guess when we go to the next one of matchups between the two teams, that would be one to watch. Would that be obvious to say?
Yeah, for sure. Just because if they step up this game, I should be fair to them. They did a good job Saturday when it counted. And that's the thing. Like, their Rice this year is very, like, first quarter or first drive of the game. They scored on the first drive of the game, I think, five times this season. And then they build this lead or, you know, they score even if they're not leading. And then the second half comes and, like, I don't know if they realize that it's the third quarter or not, but they just, the last two games, they've had 8 yards of offense in the third quarter.
Ouch.
Both games. So, granted, against Army basically had the ball the entire time, but Rice also fumbled it. So it's not been a good third quarter for them. But then they turn around, and fourth quarter, they've come back and kind of come alive, and the secondary really did do a good job in the fourth quarter against Army.
So
So most recently, it's been improved.
I got you. So from Rice's perspective, and you look at Louisiana Tech, what matchups do you see most favorable for the Owls?
Let's see. I mean, they're ready to see Dixon. I can tell you that. Like, their defensive line is, and their linebacking core, one of their linebackers, their junior linebacker, Alex Lyons, has just played out of his mind on Saturday against Army and has just really, really stepped it up. So I know he's really excited about seeing Dixon. It sounds kind of weird, but I know the offensive line just kind of got, especially in the second half last year, just kind of, you know, I don't know, rolled over or whatever you want to call it. But I know the offensive line is definitely ready to go against La Tech's defensive line again and prove that they didn't, you know, that they're not just pushovers.
So when you look at Rice's schedule, I mean, Army's tough to prepare for, so you can almost throw that game out. It was very close. Florida Atlantic, who's kind of struggled on the year, and you look at the two games against West Kentucky and Baylor, North Texas, who of course has already fired their coach, and Texas is probably Rice's best game thus far. And then, so when you look at the competition they played against, I mean, what can we gauge from the competition that they've played?
It's funny that you called Texas Rice's best game, because I think they had like 7 turnovers in that game, or 5 turnovers in that game. So when that's your best game, like, it's interesting. You know what I'm saying? So they're different. They're different from that Texas game. That Texas, I wrote this story last week, that they are showing glimpses of who they can be. So I could see Rice coming out here and finally being the Rice football team that you see in the first drive of the game and the fourth quarter of the game. But the thing is they haven't done that so far, and I don't know how they expect to just do it in basically what's the biggest game of the season thus far. I don't know if you they don't want what happened last year to happen again. I can tell you that that taste in their mouth has been with them the entire year. But I don't see how it's going to be, unless they string it together for 4 quarters. They were tied, you know, with Army in the fourth quarter. So they really need to string it together for 4 quarters, or else La Tech and Dixon and Driscoll are going to have probably a lot of fun.
So it seems like you're seeing this game very similarly that we are, but you also see that this team has some potential. If they could put it together Friday night, it could be their night.
Yeah, if they could be the fourth quarter team that they are the last 2 weeks for 4 quarters, they could be an awesome team to watch. But they're not stringing it together, and part of it is they have played 31 true and redshirt freshmen thus far this season. So, you know, you just don't have that experience there, and so they haven't been able to pull it together.
Well, talking about having some experience on offense, so Derek Dillard has had a really good game the last 2 weeks. The junior, I think he's got over 20 career touchdowns now, and against FAU he had 23 carries for 106 yards and added 3 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown. And then last week he only got 10 carries, but he put up 89 yards and a touchdown, so very productive. And then at quarterback, Dreyfus Jackson's played probably his 2 best games the last 2 weeks. He's been really efficient and had, I think, what, 3 touchdowns against Army? Or no, against FAU.
FAU, yeah.
And 2 against Army. So
2 against Army.
Passed for over 250 yards both times, no interceptions. So he's playing really well, and also had a rushing touchdown against FAU.
That's the thing. They look different. They're different. They're different than who they were against Western Kentucky. But they're not different for 4 quarters. They still, it's like, I don't even, that third quarter is just, I don't know. It is not their quarter, that's for sure.
So if you take, yeah, if you take out those 1,300 yards or whatever it was between Baylor and Western Kentucky, it's going to make some of their rushing defense, their team passing efficiency defense, that's 126th in the country. It's going to improve it some, but it's not going to jump it up 126 spots. So you just think it could be decent is what you're saying about their passing defense.
Is their problem is just their passing defense? no, their problem is that this team could be a great team, and I am sitting here wondering when they will all figure that out. Like, a couple weeks ago, I wrote a story about everybody was, okay, against Western Kentucky, Dreyfus Jackson, their quarterback, got benched in the second quarter, and everybody was like, what the heck, what is going on? And Coach Bayless said, Dreyfus Jackson is our starting quarterback, but we needed to try and do something to change this all up. And I came out and said it. This team is not, it's not a Dreyfus Jackson problem that this team has. It is a team problem. It is, they're not playing together all the time. Because, yeah, Dreyfus has done a lot. He's decided to finally, instead of realizing that this is his senior year and, you know, he only has so much time to do all this, he's finally having fun with all of it. He was pressing too hard, and he was making bad decisions, and he realized he needs to get back to, like, what he used to do, and it would start clicking again, and it has. It definitely has.
Well, hey, what are y'all talking about? Bad passing defense. They held Army to 18 yards. I mean, come on.
How many times did Army throw it? Four?
Right.
they were 2 for 10. So
2 for 10. There you go.
Really good.
So, and it was Coach Bayless likes to say it. He said it a couple times this week. It was raining like in Forrest Gump, where it rains basically
sideways.
Every single way that it can.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you talk about David Bailiff. I've interacted with him some at Conference USA Media Days. Just to explain to the folks that may not realize what a good guy David Bailiff is in covering the Rice Owls.
He doesn't even seem like a football coach at times to me, because he is such a kind human being. Like, he is just an unbelievable man. Like, my mom was in town a couple of weeks ago, and there was nothing I could do. She could have gone somewhere else, but they said she could come to practice. And in the middle of practice, he goes and walks up to her and welcomes her to Houston, and, you know, asks her how it is and how much she misses me and, like, all this stuff. And then here it is. It's not just him. He sets the entire tone for that team. There it is. One guy after the other walking up to my mom, saying hello. None of them are being asked to do so. They're just doing it on their own because they see him as this amazing example. I mean, he's just, I've asked him questions that I've asked coaches before that I was sure he was going to get, you know, a little testy on, a little something. And he gives me a straight, honest, calm answer. And I've looked at him before and said, really, you're not going to, like, blow up or anything? He's like, you know, if I complained about everything, why would anybody ever want me to have this job? You know, if all I'm doing is complaining. It's just, he is a very good person and very, very just smart in everything that he does.
Well, all this being said, give us a prediction for Saturday. Or not Saturday. Sorry, I keep saying that all day. Friday night's matchup. I told you in the email, why not? It's fun. None of us are very good at
it. I know. I've been thinking about it. And, gosh, they both put up a ton of points. 52-48.
Whoa.
She went there, folks. Vegas isn't calling this one to have an over-under of 100, I promise.
So, 52-48, who wins?
Yeah, who wins?
Let's say if Rice plays like Rice has played every week before this week, LaTeX wins. If they can string it together for four quarters, Rice wins.
There you go. You had it. You heard it here first, 52-48, and Vegas is going to blow up.
Right, exactly.
Stephanie, appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll talk again soon whenever basketball season gets here.
It sounds perfect. I love basketball season.
Thanks, Stephanie. Kuzadim from the Houston Chronicle joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Good stuff from Stephanie. Let's take this break. The last two segments brought to you by Brister Smokehouse and National Jewelry in Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors each and every week. 255-7698 downtown, in downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Good stuff from Stephanie from the Houston Chronicle. I said her my last name right a couple of times and wrong a couple of times, but I'm just going to stop while I'm at 500. Sound good to you?
Yeah. Kuzidum. That's wrong.
Yeah, you're close. I'm open. Kuzidum.
Kuzidum.
There you go. It's a good. I literally sent her an email today asking for pronunciation help. Lots of Y's in her name. That threw me off.
You got to do what you got to do. Not everybody has Jones or Ford.
That's true. I didn't mean to maybe laugh her off about her pick. She said 52-48. But the over-under from Vegas currently sits at 64. It's open at 67.5 at the Venetian. And it made the big jump. 3.5 points is a big jump to 64. Over under, I mean, a line of 12.5. It got as high as 13, but it's pretty much 12 or 12.5 across the board. And you can see why people would say there's going to be a lot of points scored, because the last two times these two teams have met have been high scoring affairs. But 2 years ago, Tech was facing the Owls right after Coach Bailiff's father had passed away, and listening to the story that Stephanie had to tell about Coach Bailiff with her mother, and going up and talking to him, that tells you that his father was very visible in the program as well. So that the loss of his father was huge on the whole team. So they were playing some inspired football that night. And then last year they didn't play very well, and Tech played really well. And she talks about how Rice hasn't put a complete game together. Tech really hasn't put a complete game together yet either. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah.
That's your name.
Tech's been close to putting together a complete game. I mean, obviously Southern was the first game of the year, and that was as close as it got, but that was against an FCS school at home. But
and an FCS school that had not had any spring practice.
And so then, I mean, the next closest thing would be this Middle Tennessee game, and I think Tech could have put together a complete game, but I think in the second half, like I said earlier, both teams were just trying to get the game over with and get off the field, so I don't think Tech was in attack mode in
the
second half.
And they missed
a
field goal.
Yeah, that's true. Man, Barnes has been really good this year. I mean,
he's still kicking at 80%.
Yeah, he missed one early against Kansas State because he slipped. Missed one in the rain in this game, but man, the kicking and punting has been so much better this year, and he's a big part of it.
Yeah, Gerald Schaus is really punting the ball pretty well. He had a not so good punt. So the special teams were just okay Saturday. You could argue that the defense had maybe its best game of the year, and then the offense clearly played well. You don't put that many points up and not play well.
Yeah, and the defense, you know, put together some of those points. So, I mean, I think that was as close as you would get to a complete game was right there. And I think when Tech's dominating like that against Lafayette and the freshmen are getting in at the end, the backups are getting in at the end, that's all you need to know.
When you look at Tech's roster going forward, you need those young players to get more experience. As many I can't remember the exact number that Stephanie said that Rice has played as far as true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. It's been a bunch, 30-something. Tech's played
almost that many.
Probably.
A lot of true freshmen, and there's a lot of redshirt freshmen playing big spots. I mean, talking about Jalen Ferguson, I mean, that's a big-time player in Cam.
Aaron Roberson, Trey Spencer.
Shane Carpenter. So, you know, Tech's got a lot of young guys on the field, too. The key is there's a lot of that senior leadership at Driscoll and Dixon, and even juniors like Trent Taylor, Xavier Woods. I mean, they've got some good upperclassmen, too, to go with it. You know, and Coach Holtz mentions every week, Barnes, Butler, Dora, I mean, Thomason, a lot of veterans. So it's a good mix. It really is.
You think about next year defensively, this team could be scary. And it's not scary in a good way. Defensively next year with what they lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary just to think about the a lack of experience coming back. So you've got...
You lose both corners. You lose a safety. You lose all your linebackers, your starting linebackers. Two of your four defensive linemen.
Your linebackers next year could be Grogan, Ferris, and Derman, who Derman's a true freshman this year, just now getting some experience. So they're all getting experience this year, but they're young, and there's nobody behind them with any experience. Defensive line, Ferguson and Candy have a lot of experience now, or Ferguson will, on the ends. But inside, you lose Butler. So you're pretty young inside.
Aaron Brown, and you, but you've gotten a lot of playing time with
Brown. I think is a junior, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So he'll be back.
You bring back Courtney Wallace, who's gotten a lot of playing time. Jordan Bradford, who's gotten a lot of playing time. Cedric Johnson got some playing time early. He hadn't seen a whole lot of playing time since. So there's something coming back. And Emmanuel Turner's played a good bit this year.
And so I mean, there's some players they got. It's just going to be a young team, but there is some experience, and that's why Coach Holtz has been smart to play all these guys last year and this year, getting them playing time as true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, because they're going to need to be on the field next year. They're going to need that experience.
Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with our good friend Rafe. What's going on, my man?
Oh, not much. Looking forward to Friday. I know the team, it's difficult on the coaches and so forth trying to prepare and all that, but I like, you know, the less days between games, the better for me. I like it. We can play every other day. I'd be fine with it.
So what's your feeling on the games Friday night?
Well, I thought the game Saturday was important. I mean, I thought some things emerged, and we showed some things that we hadn't seen as far as our plays on the ball. You know, I know the pass defense gave up some yards, but that we had that's a good quarterback, and we had him rattled, and we had him, you know, threw different looks at him and you know, jumped some routes and looked good, I thought, you know, defending the pass for a lot. I mean, they had two big-time receivers that we had to contend with, but I thought overall the pass defense was good enough against a pass-heavy offense like they were. I don't know how many times they ran it, but they threw it a lot. And so that was encouraging for me. And then, you know, just to see Dixon back out there along with Henderson and what that looks like with really almost operating at full capacity with our skill players, I thought that was nice. And you know, they got to Driscoll a little bit, but overall he had time to throw it. And, you know, if you take away some of the drops and so forth and so on, that I thought that was about as efficient a game passing the ball that we've had. And to me, everything's starting to align for this team to make this final run. And not just hope that we don't slip up, but I'm thinking that we can kind of dominate going forward. You know, I think that it'll be exposed on, you know, I don't know what the weather is. I think it's supposed to rain, but it really doesn't matter. I think that we'll show that we're the superior team to Rice, and then we go to UTEP, right?
Correct.
All right, so
no, right, North Texas is next.
North Texas at
in
home.
Ruston, yeah.
Homecoming.
Yeah, you know, I think that we may start a little roll here, starting with Middle Tennessee, and then, you know, hopefully we'll be at our best football by the end of the year, because we're not there yet. And I think out of all the teams I've seen for Conference USA, I think we have the highest ceiling, and, you know, that includes Western Kentucky. I think that we have more than they have, even going in, hopefully, to have a rematch against them.
Probably more weapons. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, just on as far as what we can do from multiple positions, you know, it is hard to say what we do best. I mean, you would think Dixon, is he the best player? Yes, probably is the overall best player. But, you know, Driscoll has shown that, you know, if he can run the ball, he can throw the ball, he's poised, and it's all those leadership qualities he has. He, you know, may be the most valuable player in a sense. And then, it's hard to say that. It's hard to say that about anybody. You know, Trent Taylor, I mean, give me a break. He's really unstoppable at this point by anybody. I don't think there's anybody in the country that can stop him and Driscoll one-on-one. And, you know, so I'm excited about it. You know, I'm excited about the pressure that we're getting through Ferguson. You know, I'm excited about our linebacker play right now and really our safety play is, it seems like they're they're getting better. You know, they almost decapitated a couple players for Mississippi State. So, you know, they're hitting hard. They're playing. And so, I don't know, man. I think that we're the best team in the Conference USA. You know, I wish we could have gotten one of those out-of-conference big wins, especially Kansas State, but we didn't get it. So what? You know, let's go ahead and win out and win the conference championship and see what that gives us.
Well, you know, I always ask you, what's your prediction score-wise for Saturday?
A lot to a little. That's
you think,
what it is.
You don't think I'll be close?
No, I mean, I picked 31-17 for Middle Tennessee State, and you know, I was kind of biting my lip thinking, well, because I don't know where Dixon is and so forth and so on. I think this game at Rice, you know, if it's a just a monsoon, then there's not going to be a lot of scoring. But if it's sheer talent against talent and what we have going against what they have, then we're going to beat them like 48-14, something like that. We're going to beat them and into submission, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, so, there you go.
So you got it kind of like the Middle Tennessee game, or even worse.
What's that?
You have it very similar to the Middle Tennessee game.
Yeah, the Middle Tennessee game was a little bit of more of a question mark, but I think Middle Tennessee's quarterback is better than Rice's quarterback, and as long as that tight end's not playing for him, that played for him last year, that was
I think
so
he's
good.
Playing in the league.
Yeah, he should be playing in the league. That guy was really good, but I don't know who else they can. I just don't see Rice being able. I mean, if they're going to try to run on us, that doesn't seem like a good idea. And if they're going to try to throw on us and they don't have a tight end, then that doesn't seem like a good idea. And we're probably going to get pressure on them. So 48-14, and we give them the last seven.
It's probably a silly question, but I'm sure you came to the game Saturday.
Oh yeah, I came.
Did you have a chance to go watch the basketball team scrimmage before the game?
I did not. We have tailgating obligations, contractual obligations that we must fulfill as our Tech fan duty, and going to sneak into the basketball watch the team scrimmage was not part of what I'm allowed to do on game days.
I totally understand. Well, I was going to ask you some basketball questions, but since you didn't see them, I won't
ask you. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I do know what happened in the scrimmage, according from Sean, but I didn't see it live.
Well, appreciate you joining us again, but Rafe, as always.
I enjoy it. Thanks for your show. See you later.
Talk to you next week. Rafe joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. You can do it, too. Give us your opinion of Tech football thus far, or even what your expectations of Tech basketball are, because that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. We'll give you a little tease, as they call it. Janiah White didn't play at all in the scrimmage, Jason.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's got some health issues going on.
It's 5-6, kind of shorthanded for a inter-team scrimmage.
Scrimmage.
Elmer Fudd.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little basketball talk since it's right around the corner. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. We'll be back right after this. Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jason, can you believe basketball's around the corner?
I thought football just started. This is crazy. I mean, they're already talking about high school playoffs, and I mean, God, it's
when you get old, things go fast. I always heard it growing up, but when you get old, you realize it. And I'm not really old yet. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors like we have been all season. We're very appreciative for all of our great sponsors. Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 255-7698. Tech basketball scrimmaged, like I said, before the football game Saturday, and Janiah White did not play. He's got an internal health issue going on. That's keeping him sidelined for now. He was on the exercise bike for basically the entire scrimmage. But some guys that stood out, Jacoby Boykins looked pretty good. Alex Hamilton, of course, does what Alex Hamilton does. Merrill Holden made a couple of nice moves with his back to the basket. Derek Jean's going to be a star for Louisiana Tech. Eric McCree still does what Eric McCree does. Antoine Luckett's going to help this team out, the transfer from Alcorn State. Brandon Shepherd, his coming into his own. He's got a little work to do, but he's going to be a player for Louisiana Tech down the road. I'm not sure it's going to be this year, but he'll be there,
and he'll be needed to play some minutes this year too.
Jalen Washington from Smyrna, Tennessee, I was very impressed with.
Now, he's pretty thin.
Oh, he's very thin.
And he's listed at like guard/forward. So I'm picturing a guy that's more of a wing player. But was he playing a lot of four in the scrimmage? And can he play
inside? Really – he's a stretch four as you see it in the college game. I mean,
okay.
He's going to play with face in the basket. He can dribble. He's a high flyer. His game is very similar to Eric McCree's. He just doesn't have the meat that Eric McCree has.
Yeah, and I really think just having Coach Conkle's offensive background and having McCree and Hamilton on this team in the half court, I think you're going to see a lot of improvement in the half court offense. And I'm really excited to see those two operate because you spread it out, get a little ball movement, and create a lane for those two guys to drive. And Hamilton's proven he can get to the line, he can finish, McCree can finish, and I think Coach Conkle is going to really use these two guys, and they're going to have a really good year.
Somebody that really looked like he's added some weight, some good weight, was Deion Griffin. He's listed at 6'5", 200 right now. He may be even heavier than 200 pounds. Tech's finally gotten a full-time strength coach for basketball, and it's you just look at him, and you can tell it's paying dividends.
Yeah, and he wasn't the skinniest guy in the world last year. Now, Boykins and White, you could tell they were freshmen. They were pretty skinny last year, and Washington came in pretty skinny this year, and so it's definitely going to pay off, and you don't want them adding 20 pounds a year like they do in football, but you know, just adding 5 pounds of muscle each year, I mean, that goes a long way in basketball.
Derek Jean is yoked for a true freshman. That's impressive.
I'm excited to see him. I really am. And just the kind of this point guard that can score and dish it. And I mean, he might be one of the top guards in the conference by sophomore year. I mean, he might be the premier guard by next year. We'll see. I mean, he could be that good.
By January, he's starting for Louisiana Tech. Yeah. I feel comfortable saying that. And if he keeps progressing like it seems like he is, he may be starting game one.
Yeah, I mean,
but we've talked about this before. How do you move your best scorer out of that position, getting the ball in his hands? Alex is much better running the point than he is really playing a two.
Yeah, and it may not matter between those two and Luckett, just having two of them on the court together.
Put Luckett at the three, put Eric McCree at the four.
Yeah, or just put two of those guys on the floor together and then have a shooter out there like Boykins at the three, or the junior college transfer, I always forget his name. Is it Washington? I'm losing my mind.
Jalen Washington.
Yeah, and so, you know, put a shooter out there to kind of spread open the floor a little bit. Boykins really finished the year strong shooting.
Oh, you're talking about this Sean Robinson.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Robinson.
From Navarro College.
Yeah, he's a shooter, and
yeah,
so
he is.
You've got options, and that's really going to help in the half court. But in transition, too, how many times do you see teams playing up-tempo basketball? Somebody gets a wide-open three-pointer, you know, kind of the second wave, the ball gets kicked out to them, and they're wide open. And so those three-point shooters are going to help both in the half court and in the up-tempo, but I'm excited to see it. I think you're right. You're going to see a lot of McCree at the four, you know, Washington at the four.
Merle Holden at the five.
And you're going to have to play Holden and Shepherd a lot at the five. You really are. They're going to be a little undersized.
I think that we may not see Jania White the whole year, and it may be for the best. You got to get, he's got to get whatever's going on internally right, or know what's going on before he can step foot on the court. Tech doesn't want that kind of liability.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary, and you don't want to put the risk of a student athlete. You know, you don't risk their health at all. So you got to.
He might be 7 foot, 200 pounds, but if he's not healthy, he's not healthy.
Yeah, and you got to do what the doctor said. So hopefully he'll get better and it'll be good to go. But
and he's the only player on the whole roster listed as a center.
And he's the only one above what, 6'8"?
Only one above 6'8". Tech only has four on the roster that are listed as something other than a guard.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, you know, there's some help coming in the signing class if they all sign in November, size-wise. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully White will get back at some point this year, if not definitely hopefully next year. We'll see what happens, but I'm hopeful for him, for his sake, that he'll get healthy.
You talk about basketball recruiting with Oliver Powell being a commitment right now. At 6'8", coming out of the Dallas area, Garland, Texas, you got to think he comes in next year and pushes for starting time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean,
Eric McCree's gone.
I believe
he's a junior.
Holden and McCree are juniors, right. So Powell will probably be their primary backup.
Yeah.
He'll get a lot of playing time. And then, I mean, Harris is a 6'5 guard.
If y'all could have seen how big Jason's eyes got when he looked at me and I said Eric McCree was a senior.
Please, no. We don't want to lose him and Hamilton. Can't lose him and Hamilton. Just wanted to sign, please. But, yeah, Harris is a big 6'5 guard. And then the third commitment is a 6'6 wing. So
Jacoby Pemberton.
So a lot of length.
And they're going to add a fourth.
Yeah, and really you could go either way. Because with the dynamic of this roster and the flexibility and the commitments that you have, you could get a guard in there.
Just really, go find the best available.
Yeah, because you think about, we're talking about lack of size inside. Well, talk about lack of guard. You've got Hamilton at guard, senior, Luckett, senior. And then you got the true freshmen. Those are only three, and then Deion Griffin. Those are only four that are true guards. So there's not a lot of depth at guard. You got a whole bunch of guys that are kind of the
two threes
and the 3-4s. A lot of, you know, fluidity there, but there's not a lot of true guards or true centers. So you can see this last commitment, if they get one in the fall, it could be a big or it could be a guard, either one. And it, like you said, best player available.
And Jalen Harris being a 6'5 guard or point guard, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he'll come in and, you know, you lose a 6'5 guard in Luckett, 6'4 guard in Hamilton. So, coming in with – he'll kind of replace some of that size, and that'll be good.
Now, Tech's always had good length at the guard position. That's what's made them such a good defending team lately. But you look at the lack of length or height on the roster this year, Jason, and we've heard that they're going to press – but would it surprise you if we don't see them pressing nearly as much as we've seen in the past?
Well, I mean, that was just Coach White's style, was to press, and try to turn the defense into offense. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think we'll see a little more half-court basketball, which would probably be a good thing, because sometimes the other team's defense just forces you to have to create in the half-court. And so to have the ability to do that would be a good thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they press, but I do expect them to be a little less up-tempo than last year.
And then Tech, of course, was picked fifth, correct, in the preseason poll from the coaches?
Yeah, and the top teams are the same old. I mean, UAB was a young team last year. They won it.
Old Dominion returns
they're the favorites.
The best guard in the conference.
But the basketball schools in this conference, Old Dominion, Western Kentucky, UTEP, they're all up there. Middle Tennessee, they're all, you know, top five, six. And it's going to be the same kind of deal this year. I mean, Tech's right in the middle of that, and all you're hoping for is, you know, try to get one of those top four seeds and get some buys in the tournament, or at least, you know, avoid playing the other top four teams until the semifinals.
Well, let's take a little early break. In the last segment, we'll, of course, wrap up the show and give our predictions of Tech's game Friday night in Houston against the Rice Owls. Man, were there a lot of Rice jokes in the Bleed Tech Blue forums this week.
Oh, man.
I mean, Basmati Rice jokes, the gravy that's going to go on the rice, lots of Lots of rice jokes.
It reminds me of the old Southwestern Conference days growing up in Arkansas. Everybody had all the rice jokes back then, so it's bringing them back.
Oh, rice. Just like Tulane, maybe you never should have left those big boy conferences. Now, granted, the Southwest Conference does not exist anymore.
They'd probably be better off getting together and forming some kind of Southern Ivy League where they could just play each other.
And Vandy.
Yeah.
Get Vandy along for the ride. This segment brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7, this final segment of this week's show. We've been brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company of downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. From countertops to flooring to appliances to fixtures, they've got you covered. Go check them out. 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston, 255-7698. You look at we were talking earlier about the lines from Vegas. 13 is where it is, high as it's been. Tech a favorite. Down to about 12.5, 12 on some books. Over under of 64 currently. So you think about a 12.5 point line, 64 point total amount of points scored. Thinking 40 in the 40s to the 30s, 40s to the 20s to cover it for Louisiana Tech. I think that's probably fair. I'll go ahead and jump into it. And I'll say 42-24. That's a 18 points of Tech covers, conceiving 42-30.
Yeah, I predicted 37-24, but I could see it getting out of hand and Tech scoring a little more than that and kind of blowing it open.
Depends on the weather, honestly. If it's a monsoon and the wind's blowing, making it hard to throw the ball, it's going to be a different story. But if it's like it was Saturday, it's just rain and it's not windy, Tech will be able to move the ball through the air.
So, I mean, I got it by 13, but, I mean, I could see another touchdown for Tech, you know, maybe somewhere in that, you know, 45-21 range. So, I mean, we could blow it wide open and win by more than three touchdowns. So,
I like this matchup, for Tech. You look at Rice's strength running the ball is Tech's defensive strength.
Yeah, and we were looking at stats this week.
We almost skipped our man, John Tabor. John Tabor, you got a prediction. We can't go through. The world will not continue to rotate if you don't give us prediction.
I'm going to go 48-20.
Like it. So there's 11 teams in the country that hold their opponents to less than 100 yards rushing per game. Teams like Nebraska, Wisconsin, LSU, Boise State, Alabama, Iowa, Michigan. Pretty good company for Tech to be in. Tech gives up 99.5 yards per game rushing. It's barely in that under 100, but still under 100. And top 11 in the country. And that's Rice's strength. Rice will run the ball. But I don't think they run against Tech. They might not do as bad as Middle Tennessee did last week, who rushed for 30-something yards. But
in Middle Tennessee's on their 85th running back of the season.
They just could not run the ball. But I don't think Rice will have a whole lot more success. Tech's going to shut them down. But total defense, Tech's at 54. Scoring defense, 73. They're averaging 27.3 points per game given up. I don't see Rice scoring much more than that. I really don't. It's probably going to be less. But then, you know, Tech's doing it on offense, too. Passing offense, number 16 in the country. Overall, 21 in total offense, 480 yards a game. Rushing offense is right in the middle of the country, 75, 165 yards a game. A lot of that is because
– missing the bell cow for two games.
Yeah, you got Dixon out. So and Driscoll and Taylor has been so efficient. I mean, why get away from that?
Got a prediction on the Fairway Carts Amendment text line from Russell and Homer, 27-13 Tech. He also had a text earlier in the show that you need freshmen to play because Holt said this morning that the recruits associated with him will not be at full potential until 2017-2018. which he did. He said that on the morning drive this morning with Dietrich and White. So good stuff from Russell. Appreciate the text from Russell and Homer. Wonder if he's on the beautiful Lake Claiborne.
Maybe so. Looks like the Royals are up 1-0 in the World Series already. That's not good.
The World Series.
Ah.
Bottom of the first.
So, Tech's been doing pretty good this year in time of possession, 35th in the country, almost 32 minutes a game. But Rice is number 3 in the country at close to 35 minutes a game. That's pretty good.
It's really good. That's something that Tech's got to be concerned with, because they can't score too quickly Saturday.
And the other thing that goes along with that, the reason they have the ball for so long, is they're number 3 in the country in third down conversion. At over 50%, you know, over almost 54%. So they're doing really good on third down, where Tech's down at 37%. So Rice takes care of the ball. They get those first downs, they convert on third down, and they're going to keep the ball a long time. So Tech's got to force those turnovers. You want to score quickly, but not too quickly, and not too, you know, you want to control the ball a little bit.
Their turnover margin's actually not very good. They're tied for 117th in the country.
Yeah, so that's where Tech's got to get them. I mean, Tech's at 45th. So Tech's got to create those turnovers, because other than that, Rice is going to control that football. Was that an inside the park homer? Ugh. Man.
The only Mets fan in Ruston. I think it was an inside the park homer. There can't be very many of those in the World Series.
Oh, wow.
Is that Cespedes?
Yeah, Cespedes. Cespedes. Didn't see it.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, their best outfielder is on the bench because he doesn't hit too well, Juan Lagares. They want to get that offense out there. They got Conforto starting in the corner outfield spot. But
man, you really are a Mets fan.
Ouch.
That's sorry. You're talking to a guy that doesn't watch any Major League Baseball. So for anybody to watch it is kind of mind blowing to me. And I know, John, you're another fellow Major League Baseball watcher.
I do enjoy baseball. I enjoy it a little more when my team's still playing. But
the Cubbies kind of laid an egg in the last.
They ran into a buzzsaw of a pitching staff.
Well, hopefully that buzzsaw will keep going a little bit longer.
That buzzsaw of a pitching staff just gave up an inside the park home run.
Ouch. Harvey and DeGrom both, though, they've had some bad first innings this year. They'll settle down. The stat I like the most in this Rice game that is in Tech's favor, total defense for Rice and rushing defense for Rice, 107 in both of them. They give up 446 total yards, 205 yards on the ground. If Kenneth Dixon is at anywhere close to 80-90%, he's going to run wild on these guys. They cannot stop him.
That you're reading all the stats that whenever I was looking through this, getting ready for the show, where you go, on paper, this is a really good matchup for Tech, and it shouldn't be close. But whenever you're on the road, especially a team that you skull drug last year.
Yeah, I mean, Tech.
They're going to be out for revenge.
Tech skull drug a few teams last year, and West Kentucky got a little payback. You know, UTEP's going to be looking for some payback. Hey, the Cajuns were, and they didn't get it. So, Tech's, I guess, 1-1 in revenge games this year. We'll see
And really, you put 5 more minutes on the clock against West Kentucky, and Tech wins.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Tech's done pretty well in revenge games this year.
Just got to start fast. And luckily, they're not playing a team that's really explosive.
Yeah, now, Stephanie, that we had on earlier, I'm not even going to try the last name. She said that
Kuzadim.
She said they've scored, I think, on their first possession, 5 out of 7 games this year, or 5 out of 6. They're only 4-3. So 5 out of 7 games they've scored on their first possession. So it'll be interesting to see if Tech can stop them on that first possession and not let them get any momentum going.
What that told me is they're very much one of those scripted play type teams. And once they get out of their script, What do we do now?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know that for a fact.
MH.
We got MH on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. What's going on, my man?
Gotta love Comcast. World Series on TV, Comcast out. Could be back on by 11 o'clock.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Rice game, because Comcast has got such a bad reputation in Houston, but it's that game's on Fox
Sports. No, I think we're okay. I think we're okay for Friday night.
Hey, speaking of television, I haven't actually gotten on this soapbox today. How about American Sports Network calling Kenneth Dixon, Anthony Dixon, Jeff Driscoll, Jake Driscoll?
Oh.
Wait, what planet do these guys come from?
I don't know. Those guys are actually have been pretty good in the past. I don't know why they're slipping up. But
it was Udarius Barnes. Don't forget about Udarius Barnes.
Well, they're actually have been better than some of the Fox guys. So get ready Friday night because Fox is gonna box it up pretty good.
Well, at least it'll be a Fox crew that's on premises. That's what we've been told.
So that last time was pretty sweet, wasn't it?
Dave Weinstadt from Los Angeles talking about how the crowd noise is going to get to Jeff Driscoll.
Gotta love Dave Weinstadt. Hey, I had a couple things on Holtz. One is, and it's kind of bugged me. I want to like him, and I do like him. I think he's a fine person, but as a coach, he kills me sometimes. He's already making excuses for next year about his class being young. Where does that even come from? Why would he bring that up right now?
Well, they were talking to him in an interview about who was it? It was another team they were talking about.
I think they were actually talking about Rice being young.
Maybe so, and they were talking to him about some of these coaches getting fired too.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what brought it up.
And I think really what he, and I might just be totally reading into this, but he started talking about year three and this kind of thing, and how South Florida, you know, let him go after 3 years where he had just started getting his guys in there. So I think he's still a little bitter about that, and you know, maybe he was, you know, just trying to warn us next year is going to be a young team, which they are, and they've already.
But no, they shouldn't be, though. Next year is his fourth year, right?
Yeah, but you remember when he got here, they lost so many seniors. They got a lot
of. Oh, good grief. We lost 42 seniors.
No, I know. Hey, I've always been one to say quit talking about 32 because it was more like 27, whatever it was. But they did sign a ton of JUCOs, and all those guys are gone
they
now.
They did. But he didn't sign those JUCOs that year. That's my point. He signed as younger guys as he could get on the team, and I'm not saying we won't be young, but I just don't want to hear the excuses already for next year.
Yeah.
We're gonna lose some quality players. There's no doubt. And the other thing about Holtz that bugs me, and I know y'all are running out of time, but this goes back to I believe 2010 when Dykes was there and we played Houston and Ruston and we had them beat. In the third quarter, when you're up on a team by three scores, lay them in the third, why would you snap the ball with 15, 20 seconds left on the snap clock? And Holtz still does that. He did it. He did it this weekend. He did it against Middle Tennessee, and it will bite you. I'm telling you, it'll get you. We saw it. We saw it happen against Houston, and he. I don't know. And it's like he wakes up sometime in the fourth quarter. Oh, wait a minute. We gotta start letting the clock run down here.
Yeah, and it's.
Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah, it's weird to me because Dykes was one to always defend himself and say he didn't want to get too conservative, you know, foot on the gas, that kind of thing, and it did burn him.
And Holtz was a 180 from that.
Yeah, usually he's pretty conservative, so I'm kind of surprised to see that, but. You know, who knows? I mean, maybe he just is trying to guard against being too conservative in the third quarter. Maybe he's wanting to wait till the fourth to do it because you start getting too conservative, like you saw in the Mississippi State game right before halftime. You start getting too conservative and try to run the clock out, and then the other team pounces on you.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And poor Rafe had made the trip there, and he's such a nice guy. Doesn't he just make you sick?
Who, Rafe?
Rafe, yeah.
He does.
One day
I'll be as nice as Rafe.
He's too good a fan. But anyway, good show tonight, and enjoyed the basketball. And what was the Elmer Fudd comment?
Because he said, "What did you say? Was it recruiting? No, it
no,
was
I said some word wrong.
Recruiting or something. Yeah. Anyway, it was good. It was good stuff.
Thanks, MH. Right, we appreciate it, man.
Okay.
MH joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline. It's been a great show this week. Getting up against the end of the show. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors, just like we are every single week. Appreciative of all of our sponsors. that make Bleed Tech Blue Radio possible. For John Tabor on the ones and the twos, I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jason Jones joining me each and every week as my co-host. Appreciate all you guys' hard work. We'll be back same time next week. Dogs play Friday night, Fox Sports 1 in Houston against Rice. My bad, John.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
ESPN.